My dearest friends, I am honored to once again bid you with warm greetings for today's sermon. Out in the vast expanse of the galaxy, there are innumerable enemies which have turned their attention towards the bloated, stagnant carcass of the once mighty Imperium, with the malicious intent of feasting upon that which mankind has so tirelessly built for itself. Perhaps as a grim silver lining, the majority of these foes will be somewhat forthright with their attacks against our worlds, where outright planetary or system-wide invasions will be performed out in the open, so that all may bear witness to the glory of their nefarious conquest. But, rather unfortunately, we do indeed find ourselves opposed to a faction who will grow as a silent parasite, hidden from all but the most attuned to their devilish tactics, and within the dark depths of a world they will plot and scheme to bring about the consumption of all, purely as a means to please their alien masters. I would, of course, be referring to the insidious malignity of the gene-stealer cults who have thus far been found to pervade near every corner of the galaxy. And they will not rest until they have brought about salvation for their corrupted brothers and sisters. A cult will be formed after a foul gene-stealer has infiltrated its way onto the surface of a prey planet, at which point it will begin to infect a selected few members of the inhabitant society, causing them to mutate and produce disgusting, hybridized offspring, who now harbor the very genetic material of the Tyranids. From here, the crossbred members and chosen victims will be held under the psychic sway of the Patriarch, and he will direct the burgeoning cult over the following years until it has extended itself into every corner of the world, being ready to strike at but a moment's notice. Though every group of cultists will aspire towards the same goal of attracting the great devourer to consume their world and ascend through the prophesied coming of the deific hive mind, it does not mean that each cult will operate in the same way. As it stands today, there are rumored to be untold thousands of individual distinct cults which exist throughout the galaxy. Although their exact number is merely a nightmarish mystery, where not even the Lords of the Death Watch have a clear picture as to the scale of their star-spanning infestation. But this does not mean that we are to face this enemy whilst completely shrouded from the light. Thus far, we have obtained rather extensive records which pertain to the secrets and tactics of several major cults which have been encountered within the galaxy, and from this we may indeed learn of how to best counter these worming emissaries. Today, we shall be focusing on three of the most well-known of cults, where we will tell of their stories, ranging from their first appearance and infiltration within a world society, through to the unique tactics used during their violent uprisings. After this, we will go over some of their unique beliefs which exist within the cult, and of their current state within the galaxy today. The three which we shall cover would be known as the Cult of the Four-Armed Emperor, the Cult of the Twisted Helix, and the Cult of the Bladed Cog. But without further ado, my friends, it is time for us to learn of the Gene Stealer cults. The first to mention will be none other than the group known as the Cult of the Four-Armed Emperor. This cult was the first of its kind to be discovered by the Imperium, and their presence only became known to the wider galaxy following on from their brutal uprising upon the world known as Gosar Quintus. It was during the year 680 M41 where the insidious threat of this cult first reared its mutated, bastardized head. The planet had long been ruled over by an esteemed mining cartel, headed by the noble Trist dynasty, which had never failed in their constant task of supplying the many forge and hive worlds of the galaxy with the raw resources needed for advanced fabrications. Though the inhabitants of the world had ever proven themselves as faithful, loyal servants to the Imperium, the paranoid nature of the Inquisition still necessitated for there to be routine investigations throughout even the most trustworthy of planets. As it would soon turn out, however, this search for heresy did indeed uncover a secret most foul, but the culprit would not be from those who followed the eight-pointed star of chaos. It fell to an inquisitor of the Ordo Xenos, known as Chagrin, to enact the routine investigation upon Gozar Quintus. And though all initially appeared as normal, he soon discovered a number of curiosities which suggested to him that there was indeed a subtle perversion of the imperial creed being practiced by the planetary inhabitants. Leading a team of Tempestus Scions, he ventured into the depths of a grand pit, which supposedly led to the vast mining complexes in which many of the servile denizens found their homes. As his squad delved deeper into that ever murky darkness, he uncovered more and more artifacts, etchings, and devices which did indeed embolden his suspicion that something most foul had grasped Gozar Quintus in its taloned claws. It is said that the deep, cavernous tunnels of the mining world had been inscribed with prophetic tales of a coming four-armed god who would save the meek, downtrodden citizens from their life of feeble servitude. Personal chambers were found bereft of aquilas, or symbols of imperial faith, being replaced instead with curious stone statues shaped into what could only be described as a coiled serpent, with its back studded with claws and its fanged mouth agape. With all this being said, however, in a rather haunting twist, none of this information was destined to be investigated by the wider Imperium. Inquisitor Chagrin was recorded to have only sent one singular transmission back to his void ship, and it was that Gozar Quintus was performing admirably, and that the Imperium should not interfere with the benevolent rule of the Trist dynasty, as they were exemplars in following the truth of the Imperial creed. Over the following year, life upon this fringe Imperial world continued to thrive. However, all was not well within the fortresses of the Death Watch. The mysterious alien-hunting Astartes had indeed received the final call of Inquisitor Chagrin, and yet he had seemingly disappeared from the galaxy without a trace. And this was an incident which most assuredly warranted a follow-up investigation. A small kill team of five Marines, codenamed as X's, was dispatched from their watch fortress to traverse the last recorded path of their inquisitorial companion in the hopes that they may uncover his true and final fate. Rather curiously, however, once they themselves delved into the darkness of the same great pit which Chagrin had explored, their signal too was seemingly lost. At this point, it was quickly becoming obvious that some nightmarish terror did indeed lurk within the Stygian depths of this gargantuan abyss. Losing a fabled inquisitor and five esteemed brothers of the Adeptus Astartes was not something which could be overlooked, and so it fell to none other than the ultramarine chaplain, known as Ortan Cassius, to finally shed some light on this deadly anomaly. The venerable hero, no longer content to see more of his brothers disappear within those dank depths, assembled an elite team of 10 Death Watch veterans, each of whom he could wholeheartedly trust to carry out the mission, even if all others had fallen. With his group, they departed to Gozar Quintus and descended into the darkness of that great and terrible pit. Within, they found true horrors, the likes of which had never before been seen throughout the galaxy. The tunnels were utterly infested by hordes of half-mutated humans who had seemingly been hybridized with the malign traits of the recently encountered Tyranid menace. With hunched frames, the mutants charged out from the darkness, clawing, scratching, and stabbing away at the intrusive kill team. But these men were Astartes, clad in some of the finest of power armors available to a Marine, and so their blows were simply deflected, bouncing off the imposing suits of black armor. In response, the members of Kill Team Cassius were relentless in their advance. Torrents of fire, unleashed from bolters, plasma rifles, and flamers, utterly devastated the seemingly endless hordes, with thousands of cultists falling victim to the Astartes' onslaught. They continued to move ever deeper into the pit, purging various nests and dwellings from the foul Xenos taint, which had clearly pervaded this entire labyrinthine complex. Reaching the basin of this pit, the Marines encountered the great Genestealer Patriarch, who ruled over the entirety of this cult. Though the battle itself was gruesome, it was the Kill Team who emerged victorious. However, they were not able to celebrate this battle, for they had uncovered a stomach-churning horror within the databanks of the Trist Dynasty. There were numerous records which clearly stated that the ruling nobles had been swayed into subservience to this nefarious gene stealer, and that they were simply acting on whatever whims and desires it put forward to them. Furthermore, through the vast shipping connections of this world, the cult had sent its members far and wide, with the sole order of establishing their own sub-cults on as many planets as possible, expanding the great tendril of devotion throughout the entirety of the galaxy. Thus, as it stands today, this group, named as the Cult of the Four-Armed Emperor, now exists as perhaps the largest known Genestealer cult at large, and we may have no idea as to the true scale of their operations throughout the Imperium. Thanks to their foundational upbringing within the cavernous reaches of that hellish mining pit upon Gosar Quintus, the followers of the Four-Armed Emperor have become incredibly adept at navigating through cramped, claustrophobic environments. In addition, they seem to have gained an uncanny ability to locate subterranean regions, which would best enable them to burst out and ambush their foes from beneath, catching most completely blindsided from the threat which lurks below. But their underground tricks are not simply to be used for war, as it has enabled them to hide their secretive lairs from the prying eyes of the foolish unbelievers upon a world. The cultists of the Four-Armed Emperor will typically establish their nests and burrows deep beneath the surface, and none will be permitted to explore these reaches unless they too have devoted their lives to the propagation of their patriarch's desire. Those who have fallen sway to his psychic song will typically belong to the working classes who may have access to advanced mining equipment, and of those who may obtain the schematics or blueprints to the larger construction projects of the world. From here, their scions will work tirelessly to expand their tunnel networks beneath every building possible, connecting each and every vital structure of a hive city to their own subterranean labyrinth of mutated horrors. None outside of the cult will ever be privy to the terrible knowledge that there is an endless coven of hybridized fanatics lurking beneath their feet, and they will only learn of its truth when the fabled day of salvation comes to all. Once the Genestealer Patriarch sends out his psychic signal, and once the cult has committed itself to overthrow the yoke of imperial oppression from their world, then the tunnels will finally be blown open with huge troves of mining explosives, and from these gaping wounds will thousands of cultists pile out from, ready to claim this territory in the name of the Four-Armed Emperor. It is said that the members of the Death Watch feel a great deal of shame for having failed the Imperium all those years ago, in that they did not quell the threat of this cult when they were first encountered by their initial kill team. As such, their agents will routinely and rapidly respond to any rumors which may suggest that the cult of the Four-Armed Emperor has sprung up upon a world, and they will give no mercy to any who have fallen to the song of the Gene Stealers. In recent history, the cult staged a large-scale uprising within the Shambarak system, purely so that they may gain access to the vast shipyards which orbit each of the settled worlds. With this vantage point, they have been sending out hundreds of infected ships to every corner of the galaxy, further spreading their malign influence throughout the stars. Though this uprising was eventually quelled by an expedition sent from the Death Watch, we may only speculate as to how many more worlds were inoculated by the taint of the Gene Stealers sent from this system. The next cult to discuss would be one of the most curious which we have encountered, and they would be known as the Twisted Helix. Though most cults were formed from the unwilling corruption and conversion of stray members of society by a Gene Stealer patriarch, the members of the Twisted Helix are unique in that they voluntarily took upon this transformation by their own will. There was no need to abduct nor convince anyone to form this hidden society, as the founders of this group saw the great benefits of experimental augmentation as being simply too enticing to ignore. The tale of the Twisted Helix begins upon the civilized imperial world of Vejovium III. This planet can be defined by one industry above all others, and it would be of their production of esoteric medicines, Medicaid products, and pharmaceutical formulae, all of which will be constantly churned out from the immense macro-alchemical distilleries, which have come to occlude the skylines of every city. The level of influence and power afforded to the rulers of these pharmaceutical manufactorums was so vast that these medical tycoons soon grew into a position where they stood as the most legitimate candidates for fulfilling the role of planetary governor. Thus, several of the lords of these groups have evolved from simple board members into becoming something more akin to dynastic nobles, whose every wish and desire must be carried out by the servile population of their world. Having a planet run by pharmaceutical companies who had attained this level of power led to one thing, and one thing only, and it was for the mass exploitation and experimentation of a select portion of their citizens, all so that they may produce new medical products to be shipped out to the farthest corners of the Imperium. This process continued rather innocently for the longest time, with the Inquisition finding no qualms in the outward treatment of the denizens of this world, primarily due to the value which was to be found in their prized medical exports. But after many years, this took a rather dark turn. The janitors and senior scientific staff had become privy to the knowledge of the Tyranid species running rampant in the distant reaches of the galaxy, and the existence of an alien which could rapidly adapt in response to various external stimuli was too enticing of an opportunity to ignore. Thus, a group of pure strain Gene Stealers were quickly acquired through a series of unsultry means with the express purpose of performing a wide range of exotic experimentations upon their chitinous bodies. Initially, this began with simple extractions and examinations of the various secretions, organs, and biological artifacts of the Gene Stealers. However, the aspirations of the janitors were always far grander than the simple cataloging of this ravenous species. After several hundred experiments, they had managed to isolate and purify the entire genome of these beasts, and from this, they were successful in extracting the treasured germ seed, which was thought to initiate the transformation of a victim into a hybridized, ascended version of themselves. It is rumored that some of the methods used to isolate these sequences were whispered to the genitors by the silent call of a being known only as the prime specimen. We may speculate that this individual would be none other than the gene stealer patriarch who was brought to this world along with the rest of his brood, but this is something which we will never know for certain. In any case, at this point, it soon became clear to the scientific staff that they had made a true breakthrough in the field of genomics, and that they were poised to elevate humanity to a new height of power through the gift of their newfound discovery. The alien DNA was a clear path to ascend mankind into a plane of perfection, where death itself would be but a tragic memory from their past existence, where their own genetics were yet to be conquered. With their new lofty goal of biological ascension now in mind, the aristocratic lords of Vejovium III instructed their senior genitors to administer the genomic gift into their own bodies, claiming that since they were at the pinnacle of imperial society, that they should be the first to ascend over all others. There is another theory which reads that the aristocracy were coerced into imbuing this alien elixir by the siren call of the prime specimen. But regardless of the true reason, the lords had each chosen to consume this curious concoction, and the world of Vejovium would never again be the same. The lords quickly mutated and transformed into hunched beings, which resembled the neophyte hybrids commonly found in conventional gene-stealer cults. Though they were far from the image of glorious perfection which they once envisioned, many of these arrogant fools were in fact rather pleased with the augmentations which they had received. The extra limbs, hardened claws, and sharp fangs were seen as clear boons which they most wholeheartedly deserved from their conquest of alien DNA. Following on from this, many more experiments took place, with there being a new goal of producing new, fully fledged, pure strain gene stealers from the genetic material which they had already extracted. The vast majority of their attempts ended in abject failure, with hordes of malformed abominations being pushed away and locked up in vast pens, where they would be destined to act as simple vessels for future experiments. Eventually, however, the genitors and hybridized lords were indeed successful, and they managed to produce a new clutch of vat-born gene stealers who held a pure strain of tyrannid DNA. The newly formed creatures were then released across the world of Vejovium III, being placed in specific locations within great hive cities and laboratory complexes, from where they would be able to infect and spread the gift of the gene stealer's kiss to all who they encountered. From this point, we can say that the cult of the Twisted Helix took form, as the mutated aristocrats now seemed hell-bent on wrangling complete control over the very genetic makeup of their subservient population. In order to accelerate this process, they plotted to replicate the germ seed of the gene stealers and then imbue it within commonly produced pharmaceutical products, which would then be disseminated throughout the populace, leading to further inoculations of all who partook in its treatment. It is said that these tainted products have similarly been mixed in with regular batches of pharmaceuticals before being shipped out to the many worlds of the Imperium, all to ensure that the spread of the gene stealers is allowed to reach far and wide throughout the galaxy. In addition, to best control the citizenship, the scientific leaders produced a curious concoction of rare chemicals, which when combined into a single formula would dull the minds of the working population, reducing them into little more than indentured servants, who lacked in the ability to speak out against the actions taken upon them. As a side effect of this compound, there are no complaints received about the treatment of humans upon this world, and so, thus far, Vejovium-3 has not been investigated by the wider Imperium, as the High Lords value the medical output of this planet far too much to intervene, and question as to why the world has seemingly gone quiet. Due to the influence of the gene-stealer patriarch and his subservient aristocratic lords, the entirety of this planet rapidly fell under the sway of the twisted helix, to the point where we may only speculate as to how many hybridized servants they truly rule over. Because of their rampant habits of performing further experiments on their populace, there is an enormous population of twisted aberrants who harbor far more monstrous mutations within their bloated genomes. As a result of this, when the prime specimen decides that subtlety and subterfuge will no longer be sufficient tools for achieving his goals, he will unleash the hordes of aberrant mutants, who have been further enhanced by an inoculation with heavy doses of steroids, combat drugs, and pain modulators. Within this cult, there exists a similarly large group of biophagi, who act as genetic scientists and whose every ambition simply pertains to their desire to elevate themselves above all others, where they will stand as perfected beings who hold a pristine genome, free from any maladaptive traits or mutations. These individuals of the Twisted Helix see their hybrid cousins as being nothing more than test subjects to be used and abused in the name of science. They will happily watch their specimens melt down into an amorphous heap of flesh before moving on to the next iteration of their testing regime without a care in the world for anything beyond their sinister goals. We may only speculate as to the greater plans of this cult as they expand throughout the galaxy. Perhaps their ultimate ambition would indeed be to elevate humanity to a new height of genomic glory, which was in fact a goal that the Emperor himself aspired towards in his ancient past. Alternatively, however, the Twisted Helix may simply desire to rule over the entirety of the Imperium, reducing all of mankind into mindless subservients who exist purely to be used and toyed with by the aristocratic elite. The third cult to learn of would be known as the Bladed Cog, and it exists as a curious amalgamation of gene-stealer hybrids and Mechanicus scions. Whilst it is fairly common for gene-stealer cultists to utilize heavy machinery or mining equipment within a war zone, there are none who have dedicated themselves to the machine as much as the Bladed Cog. In some ways, their beliefs may be seen as somewhat of a bastardization of the teachings behind the machine cult. And as we are soon to discuss, this group holds a rather special relationship with the followers of Mars. Our story begins upon the nondescript imperial world known as Fineminster Gamma. This humble vestige of humanity was but one of thousands like it within the galaxy, which possessed nothing unique, no bounties of resources, no beneficial traits among its populace. And so it simply existed to serve the greater Imperium as best it could, as a humble cog in a far greater machine. But quite sadly, this modest home of man was not destined to hold this quiet, unassuming state for long. All changed for the denizens of this world with the approach of a tech priest Dominus, named as Ovid Thrensiom. After sailing through the inky depths of space for an unfathomable length of time, this follower of Mars ordered the populace to assist him in repairing, recharging, and restoring his great cohort of Skitarii, along with his travel-worn void ship. Such was the way that this lofty cyborg carried himself, and so clearly elevated was he from the common citizens of this world, that they opted to honor him with the title of Great Miser. a name intended to carry with it a hefty deal of respect and praise. But the tech priest cared not for the literary practices of baseline humans, and instead his mind was occluded with the truth that this pathetic world simply did not hold the capabilities to provide him and his forces with the care which he required. They possessed only the most rudimentary of manufactorums. Their power generators were ancient even by frontier standards, and their forge units were barely functional, being able to only produce crude tools of pig iron. Knowing that he would be unable to retrofit these shambolic buildings to meet his needs, and understanding that his task of pursuing the knowledge of the machine god was too vital to pause, he opted to take a more drastic measure to aid him in his mission. Within the muddled, interconnected branches of his partially cybernetic brain, he saw that whilst this world did not own any valuable resources, that the populace itself could be put to work in a far more tangible way than they ever thought possible. As a tech priest, he understood the weaknesses of flesh, but hidden within even the most meek of creatures, there does in fact lie a bountiful reservoir of bioelectrical energy, simply waiting to be harvested to fuel whatever esoteric machinery he desired. With this in mind, he claimed the mantle of leadership over this miserable planet and ordered for his Skitarii cohort to begin rounding up the populace, from where their ample stores of energy would be stolen away through an admittedly cruel and inhumane method. After witnessing the first charred, empty husks of mankind, which had been cast out to the wilderness, it was inevitable that the remaining population would begin an uprising against this grand, yet undeniably evil miser. The working class collected an arsenal of makeshift weaponry and charged towards the central quarters of Ovid Threnzion, but rather sadly, they were forced to contend with a mighty cohort of cybernetic Skitarii. Unsurprisingly, the oppressed humans were devastated. They were simply no match for a task force of biomechanical warriors who had been built and optimized for war, and so the rebellion was violently crushed, leaving the tech priest in his position of power, unopposed by any who could possibly match his strength. With the new horde of corpses at his disposal, however, he found that each and every fallen man and woman could be harvested, and from this realization, a new idea was sparked in his twisted mind. He thought that if he kept stoking the fires of rebellion, then future uprisings could be instigated, leading to a new bounty of bodies to be used. And thus, he opted to maintain this insurrectionist aura, where he would simply bide his time and wait for a future attack. It was, however, in this chaotic environment that salvation arrived in a most unexpected form. An imperial freighter named as the Red Spark had descended to drop off its regular shipments of goods to the planet's desperate citizenship, but for this latest visit, it left one additional and unwanted gift. A pure strain gene stealer had stowed aboard many years prior, shrouding itself in betwixt the cramped bulkheads of the craft before entering into a prolonged state of hibernation. Upon landing, however, the creature was spurred to life by a rush of adrenaline, prompting it to silently slip away onto the planet's surface. From here, in the tumultuous state of paranoia, fear, and with the burning embers of a revolution still in each and every citizen's mind, the gene stealer was provided with a near-perfect environment to exploit. It did not take long for this patriarch to find a small hovel to create his lair, and from this den did he steal away the first chosen few to form the foundations of a new cult. This group would go on to be known as the New Deliverance Movement, with the sole goal of liberating their homes being emboldened by the psychic song of the Gene Stealer. More and more of the terrified populace quickly came forward to join, initially being ignorant to the truth of this movement, where they simply believed it to be yet another burgeoning group of rebels who sought to overthrow the Grand Miser. These unfortunate fools, however, were quickly brought under the fold of the cult, where they would be impassioned by the wills and desires of the patriarch. Those early cultists were quick to create a new codified language for themselves, replete with secretive phrases and signs intended to make one's true allegiance known to those who may hold sympathies to their cause. The great flags of Mars, which the tech priest had ordered to be put up across the settlement, were stolen away and altered to display the new movement which they now followed. The great cog of Mars was made to appear more jagged and sharpened, and its center had been filled in with a coiled creature, representing none other than the shrouded patriarch. Within the near-abandoned workplaces of the world, cultists toiled endlessly to produce crude tools of war to be used by the growing movement. Armored vehicles, ramshackle weaponry and rudimentary armor was produced under the guise of regularly scheduled labor, all of which would be shuttled off to the secretive lairs and dens of the cult. It was not only the baseline humans who fell to the song of the Gene Stealer, as it soon became clear that some of the Skitarii forces had also been lulled into siding with the new movement. Though the patriarch was strained, almost to the point of prematurely expiring, he was able to overrule the command protocols within their shackled minds, bringing them in as valuable double agents of the cult. Thanks to their inbuilt electrospore signature keys, they would be able to access areas of the tech priest's personal dwellings with no suspicion if it was so desired. For those who did fall into the growing movement, Skitarii or human alike, they were soon to be gifted with the boon of the Gene Stealer's kiss. The patriarch was like any other, in that he was inoculating and infecting the cult's populace with his own invasive genetic material, leading to a large population of hybrids appearing within their ranks. Naturally, this was all kept as a shrouded secret, and the tech priest Miser, lofty as he was none the wiser as to the biological transformation which was occurring right under his cybernetic nose. After much time spent expanding and planning, it soon became clear that the cult could be no more prepared to attack than now, and thus the patriarch signaled for the day of ascension. They had used their corralled Skitarii forces to run simulation after simulation on how the rebellion may perform, and only once it seemed that victory was all but certain did the outright attack begin. The violence was swift, lasting only a single night, and the oppressive dictatorship of Ovid Thrensiom was beheaded in a swift strike. The great miser himself was slain at the hands of a Sanctus assassin who fired a single biomutative round into the blighted heart of that cybernetic horror. Though now free from the tyrannical rule of their tech priest overlord, the work of the new deliverance movement was far from over. They had freed their home and liberated their people, but they were now faced with an entire galaxy where the followers of Mars ruled over similar worlds in just as oppressive terms, and so their members were spurned to take to the stars to free them from the terrible yoke of Mechanicus rule. As it stands today, the new deliverance movement has been renamed as the aptly termed Cult of the Bladed Cog, and from their previous position of servitude, they have now wrangled control over the secrets of the tech priest who once held them down by the scruffs of their neck. It is not uncommon to find the hybridized bastards of human and tyrannid DNA being further enhanced by cybernetic augmentations and esoteric implants. The bodies of the turncoat Skitarii were studied, analyzed, and deciphered to allow the cultists to begin in the production of crude replica prosthetics, which were readily provided to the most willing of aspirants who wished to ascend to a plane of perfected existence that only hard steel could bring. The wider Mechanicus would consider these malformed creations as being nothing short of abominable offenses to the machine god, who should be exterminated wherever they are encountered. But the wishes of the tech priests are no longer to be concerned by the adherents of the bladed cog. The strange mix of their reverence towards the sanctity of machinery and to the worship of the tyrannid influence has led to a curious combination of their beliefs, to the point where they now worship a deity known only as the Claude Omnissiah. In truth, this is simply a facade created by the gene-stealer patriarch in order to use religion as a tool against the cultist masses. But to the followers of the bladed cog, they wholeheartedly believe that they have a holy mission of overthrowing the Church of the Machine Cult to rectify the blasphemous beliefs held within. They see the claim of the weaknesses of flesh to be unfounded by the followers of Mars, and that it is only through a blessed symbiosis of biological might and mechanical purity that one may ascend to a point of perfection. The world of Feinminster Gamma has been transformed since the conquest of the cult, and its impressive growth has changed this once nondescript world into one which resembles the smaller forge worlds of the Mechanicus. It is ruled over primarily by the secretive patriarch, but much of their operation is planned and executed by the fabled Magos of the cult, who goes by the name of the Pallid Man. Under their leadership, the cult has expanded into a truly formidable cybernetic force, replete with huge armored cadres of tanks, transport vehicles, and industrial walkers, adapted from the typical mining equipment which would have been produced by their old forges. The latent machine spirits of these contraptions have been wrangled into submission to the cult. And though many of the alterations made to them would be seen as blasphemous or insulting, it is simply a matter of necessity to have these spiritual forces comply with their wishes. Their operations are primarily based around infiltrating and liberating other forge worlds of the galaxy, with their highest goal being that they wish to corrupt and lead a rebellion upon Mars itself. They see themselves as the true carriers of the Claude Omnissiah's will, and none will be able to prevent them from bringing their symbiotic might of machine and tyrannid biology to all within the stars. My friends, this is where we shall end our sermon today. These have only been three of the major cults to have been uncovered in the galaxy thus far, but there are hundreds, potentially even thousands more, which exist within the depths of space. It is almost impossible for us to codify or catalogue each and every group in existence, but they are an undeniable threat to the sanctity of the Imperium and of our very lives. They seek to corrupt all that we know and understand purely to attract the insidious fleets of the tyrannid menace and those foolish cultists who overthrew the world's old leaders will not be saved from the hunger of these extra-dimensional beasts. It is important to note that the gene-stealer cults will not only affect the worlds of the Imperium, as it has also been found that they will infiltrate and corrupt alien species. However, this is a topic which is far less documented, and we would primarily be speculating on the events which occur during these scenarios. But regardless, We will soon return to learn of some more of the major cults which exist within the galaxy, as they are truly a fascinating topic which we would all benefit to learn of. For now, however, I believe that it is time to close this chapter on the Gene Stealer cults. I hope you have all enjoyed listening to these three tales, and I thank you for listening to them in their entirety. I hope you all have a pleasant day ahead of you, and I wish you goodbye.